strong and mighty tower you could always run to.
Look what God has done for him. Look what God has done for him. See what he has brought to friends. He's done what no other can do. Look what God has done for you.
Darkest hour, he's been faithful and true.
Look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. See what he has brought you through. He's done what no other can do.
Well, all you have to do is look around and see all the blessings that the Lord has allowed to enter into our lives. And immediately, it just makes you cheer up, doesn't it? We serve a good, good God, and He is a good, good Father, 24/7, 365. And I'm just proud to say that I'm one of His children, and that the Lord, He is always in control. Sometimes we wake up in the morning, and if you're like me, immediately, all of these thoughts rush my mind, what I have to do during the day, deadlines that have to be met, things that I know can't be done that day, but yet I still feel like they need to be done that day. And if I'm not careful, anxiety will fill my heart and doubt will fill my mind. But it's at that particular time, I just look at the things that God has done for me in my life, and I know that He's the one that's in control. And so really, what's there to worry about? There's nothing to worry about. I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. So good to see everybody. And we were all out last Sunday from the snowmageddon we had and the snowpocalypse. And we were all snowed in with all those footage of snow. And so good we're here today and we didn't have to bring out our bobsleds. We were able to drive our vehicles right into the church parking lot. No, in all seriousness, we like other churches, try to play it safe and do the right thing for the safety of ourselves and the people. And but praise the Lord, we were still able to bring an in-home message from our dining room. And but it's just good to be back in the Lord's house. There's nothing like being in God's house in person. And, you know, someone said not long ago, they said, you know, if you miss church and you continue to miss church, there will come a point where you won't miss church. And I believe there's some truth in that. And so it's always good to go to church, even when you don't feel like it. And so today the Lord has something special for us, I do believe. I want to mention our prayer request portion of our bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, there's some in the foyer, and then there's some down front here to my right and your left. But let's remember everyone on that. Let's remember Brother Chuck and Miss C.C. Prestridge. And Brother Chuck had a scare this past week. Thought he had a heart attack or was getting close to having a heart attack. Come to find out, it was a drop in his sugar level. And so Brother Chuck he's stable on that end of it, but he does have COVID, and Miss Cece is showing signs of the same thing. And so let's pray for them as they're at home. And of course, Miss Cece was having to stay at home prior to this because of the treatment she's been getting for skin cancer she had. But let's just remember their family and in our prayers when we pray. We've seen that Miss Carla Rich has COVID as well. She put that on Facebook, And that's how we were notified of that. And so Brother Don, Miss Carla said they'll be watching this morning. So we're praying for you, Miss Carla, you as well, Brother Don, and appreciate you guys. She did say that she's getting better and feels better, but we'll continue to remember her and everyone else that has COVID this morning. As you know, the numbers are growing. There's a large increase on that end of it. So let's remember everyone in our prayers with that. CLU today, that's our Calvary Ladies Union, the fellowship. And I encourage you to be part of that today at 3 o'clock. All women of Calvary and visitors, if you'd like to attend. We have a very special guest that will be speaking. This was supposed to be last week because of the cancellation of Sunday services. That wasn't able to happen. So today at 3 o'clock will be CLU, and that'll be in Brother Ceylon's class. And so we encourage you to meet for that. That'll be a blessing. And if you miss, you'll miss a blessing. So be part of that. Choir practice at 4 o'clock, evening service at 5 o'clock. And then next Sunday will be our Youth Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night. Sunday morning, Brother Brian will be bringing the message. Our young people will be singing. And then Sunday night will be Brother CJ bringing the message. And before the holidays, as you all remember, we had our last Sunday night every month, that last Sunday night fellowship downstairs back in the summertime. We were outside cooking out and having a good time. Well, we're picking that back up next Sunday night. Of course, we'll be inside, but we'll have sandwiches and chips and dessert. And again, Brother CJ will be bringing the message. And so we haven't decided yet if the message will be up here or downstairs, but that will be ironed out by then. And so just remember that. So some good things taking place. Mark your calendars. And, of course, we have Jubilee. That's on the horizon. That's also in your bulletin. Has anybody in here ever heard of the Perrys? All right. They're going to be with us. Our Jubilee kickoff that Sunday morning. The Perrys will be with us. And then that night, Old Pass will be with us. Brother Snyder will be preaching that morning. And then that Sunday night, Brother Sammy. And then, of course, we have a group called Jaden's Call. That's going to be with us Monday and Tuesday. That's the sister of the main singer on the Perrys. And then, of course, we'll have some other good music along the way. All right, well, let's pray this morning and focus all of our attention on the singing and the preaching. I know God wants to do something special this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We come to you, Lord, with a very thankful heart, a grateful heart. We don't understand everything that takes place. We don't understand the whys of life. Lord, help us not get into the mindset of living by the if factor. If this would have happened, if I would have done this. But Lord, this morning, help us to just cast all of our cares upon you. Leave all of that up to you. And help us abide in this moment and stay in this moment, not miss what's coming up in this moment, Lord. So many times we're present in body but absent in mind. And many times, Lord, we just miss what you have to say to us. Let today not be that way. Let us be not only present in body but present in mind today, Lord, as we hear your singing and hear your preaching. Lord, we do pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Help us gird up the loins of our mind, Lord, and focus like this is the last service of our life so that we can fully benefit from this service. Be with all these prayer requests. Be with the prayer list in its entirety, Lord. And be with the CLU ladies meeting this afternoon. Be with the guest speaker, Lord. I pray that you'll touch them. And may they have a wonderful time in Jesus. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you will stand with me, choir, stand with me as well. Let's turn over to page number 139, and let's sing what they were playing a few moments ago, At Calvary, page 139. and sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride.
Day. Amen. Great day to be in the house of the Lord today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will what?
Rejoice.
Oh, we can do better than that. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will
rejoice.
Amen. I will rejoice. Do we come into the house of the Lord this morning with a heart full of joy and rejoicing? We should. Amen. Let me just say that it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been some weeks. And my name's Alan Clayton. I'll be your minister of music for the day. It's the way I introduced myself to the choir this morning for choir practice. But it is great to be back in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to know that we serve a healer. Amen. And he's healed me, and I'm so thankful for it. Please remember also Brother David, and I'm thankful for Brother Randy being able to be here with us this morning. He doesn't have COVID, okay? David is having some serious issues this morning with his back and his neck. You know, he has problems with that. And so I know that he'd really appreciate our prayers this morning. And hopefully he'll be back with us this evening. I'm not sure, but please remember him in prayer. We have so many to remember this morning in prayer. A lot of folks are going through some very difficult times. But it is great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Please do remember COU at 3, choir practice immediately following that at 4, or whenever the ladies are done. We'll be ready. And service tonight at 5. And we're so thankful for that. And Wednesday night, back on schedule. Everything is back on schedule now. We'll look forward to next Sunday, our youth Sunday. And it'll be a great, great time. We look forward to that. Some of our young folks, I'm sure, will be taking care of the music. And we're excited about that. So, but let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Pray for Pastor this morning. And I pray for those that are unable to be here today for whatever reason. And for those of you who are watching by Facebook, we're thankful and for that avenue, and glad to have you this morning watching on the service online. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we do have to be in your house today. Help us to not take that for granted. Lord, as it was said this morning, we miss some, and then all of a sudden it's like it's so easy just to miss. But, Lord, we're thankful this morning to have the strength, and most of all, Lord, to have the desire to be in your house today. Pray that you'd be with our pastor. Pray that our hearts would be open and our minds would be open to receive your word. You know exactly what we need today. Lord, I believe with all of my heart that you have given him a message that I need. Lord, some portion of the message will be something that I need. Help me, Lord, to be, Lord, mindful of that, and be listening, and, Lord, just allowing your word to so touch me and just fill me today. Lord, I pray that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can already sense your presence in this place. Lord, we felt you this morning when we came into this place in choir practice. Lord, we thank you. Lord, thank you that we can feel your presence. And thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. Be with those that have a special need, Lord, of a touch from heaven today. We're going to praise you and thank you now for what all has accomplished in Jesus' name.
It's good to be here this morning, the house of the Lord. Appreciate our visitors being with us. Good to have some visiting with us, and good to have some return that's been gone a while. Again, we just appreciate this opportunity being back in the house of the Lord. The book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And I want to share with you a message I feel God has put on our heart for this particular service. And it's hard for me to know what to preach on a Monday or a Tuesday for the following Sunday because my emotions change so much and I talk to so many different people and hear so many different stories that I have to wait till at least Thursday or Friday before I start thinking about Sunday. And those of you that preach know what I'm talking about. But we feel we have the message that we're supposed to bring this morning. And we just want to be a blessing and a help to everyone that's here and to those that are watching on Facebook. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer. Then we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 of Psalm 34. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, I am fully aware of my inadequacies. I pray this morning that your hand would be upon me. Not for my own glory, not for my own well-being, but for the well-being of your people, Lord. Pray, God, that your word will be communicated to the hearts of your people. And by the end of the service, I pray that we would be different, we would be encouraged, and we would be changed by the time we leave. We love you today. We thank you today. And we praise you today. In Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. Psalm 34, verse number 1. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. We could pause there for a moment and say, sometimes that's a challenge. But we do it to be obedient in that God has been good. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I want to stop there this morning in verse number 6. That's reading verse number 1 down to verse number 6. By way of introduction this morning, we know that this is a psalm of David. And some of your Bibles, maybe everyone's Bible, I don't know, under Psalm 34 kind of gives a title of what's taking place in this psalm. And we know it's the account when David changed his behavior before King Abimelech. In the actual verses that tell this story, it mentions King Achish. And so Abimelech, which is a name for a king. And so we have Abimelech here and Achish there. In summary of what's going on here, we know that David, for fear of Saul, fled to Gath. And he put himself under the protection of King Abimelech, which was king of Gath. Now, David was now, and he was then in enemy territory. It soon became known who this stranger was. This was David, the one who slew Goliath. And so, also at the same time, the servants of Abimelech, or Achish, remembered the celebration of the Hebrews when they sang, "Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands." This is recorded in 1 Samuel 21:11. Therefore, it was discovered who David was. So, as a form of protection or trying to get out of the situation, David began to act like a madman. He scrabbled on the doors of the gate. He foamed at the mouth and spit fell upon his beard. And so, as you can imagine, they said, "Let this man go. He is a crazy man." But this device actually worked. And King Abimelech drove David out of Gath. And then in 1 Samuel 22, verse number 1, David went and dwelt in the cave called Adullam. And so most believe that that's where this psalm was wrote from, a dark cave. Yet it was David reflecting back on God's deliverance. And so he writes this psalm. And I read to you a moment ago, verse number 1 down through verse number 6. And he is praising the Lord. And it's like David's faith has been refined because of his deliverance. So that's why verse number 1 it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And so it's like David's faith has been refined and David has been set free. And he is reflecting back on this experience when he was in enemy territory in hiding mode. This morning I want to call your attention to verse number 6. Where David again is reflecting back on that situation and how the Lord delivered him. And as he's in this cave, he writes, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." This morning I want to preach a message entitled, "A Poor Man's Cry." A poor man's cry. Now, we've preached from these verses before. But again, I want to say that the Lord has put this sermon on me this morning, on my heart, and I could not get away from it. So I pray that it be a help and a blessing to you as it was to me. There's some things I want us to notice out of this verse, verse number 6. And let me just say that this message is for those who are in a needy time. Maybe you are in a place where you're perplexed, place where you're doubting God, a place where you don't feel that close to God. And I just want to say that it's with every intention of mine is to use these verses, this verse in particular, verse number 6, to try to show you the transformation that God took David from a poor man to a glad man. And I pray that it will sharpen and strengthen your faith. Number one, out of verse number 6, we see a certain condition. A certain condition. The Bible says, "This poor man." Poor man. David was speaking of his condition inwardly. He was speaking of his condition inwardly in a spiritual nature. He was speaking about his mental condition. Even his physical condition, David was saying, "There was a time in my life where I was poor spiritually. There was a time where mentally I could not focus. There was this time physically when I didn't feel good." And so David, again, he recants this situation. And in his praise report, he says, "At one time in my life, I was like a poor man." He said, "I was poor spiritually, mentally, and physically." Has anybody ever been there before in your life? Have you ever been to a place where you felt like you could not produce spiritually? You could not produce mentally? I mean, physically even, there were restraints that held you back. In contrast to days where you could produce spiritually, in contrast to those days where mentally, man, you were sharp as a tack. Those days physically when you ran with the best of them and you produced and you were responsible and all of those things, no questions asked. But this morning you feel like a poor man. You feel like one who is spiritually waned, one mentally who's in a fog, and physically you have your aches and your pains, and you wish that your situation would be different. That's what David was. David was a poor man. And so we see this morning, he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. David could have said, I cried. But he said with extra character upon the word cried, giving more of a certain situation. David said, this poor man cried. He could have said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. But David was trying to pin down the actual state of mind he was in at that moment when he cried. He was trying to paint a picture of how he felt on the inside, and so he said, this poor man cried. He is emphasizing the condition of his heart before God delivered him. You know, oftentimes in Scripture, deliverance is connected to brokenness and affliction. Hold your place here and turn, if you would, to Jonah chapter number 2. Jonah chapter number 2. You just follow along, whatever you like. May take a while to find Jonah. In the book of Jonah chapter number 2, we know that Jonah had rebelled against the Lord. And we know that Jonah had taken a ship, jumped on a ship, and he was going as far away from the Lord as he possibly could. And we know this morning that Jonah, he took a ship unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, verse 3 says. And we know there was a great storm there. And ultimately we know that it was Jonah who was the one that was causing the storm. And so Jonah was tossed overboard. In fact, he said in verse number 12 of chapter 1, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And so Jonah was tossed overboard, and then the sea was calm. Well, we know that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. The Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 1, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. I want to say briefly, thank God for the mercy of God and the grace of God. Jonah perhaps had given up on himself here and had jumped overboard and said, I'm the reason for the storm. I'm the reason for this folly, what's happening. And so just toss me overboard. And over went Jonah. Maybe Jonah had given up on life, and maybe Jonah had given up on himself. Maybe this was Jonah's suicide moment. But God wasn't through with Jonah, because God had prepared, the Bible says, a great fish, or prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Thank God for grace, and thank God for God's mercy this morning. The times when we fall short, the times when we feel like a poor man or a poor woman, when we cannot produce mentally and physically and spiritually, and maybe we have blown everything and we just feel like giving up and we feel like quitting, but yet God has prepared something for us. God has prepared to sustain us by His mercy and His grace. And so we get into chapter number 2 of the book of Jonah. In verse number 1, the Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You see, oftentimes in Scripture, deliverance is closely connected with brokenness and affliction. Jonah in all of his actions, and Jonah in his rebellion, even Jonah maybe committing suicide and jumping off the side of the boat, God saved him and God sustained him. And now Jonah in the belly of this fish cried unto the Lord for deliverance. Many times again in Scripture, deliverance is connected closely to brokenness and affliction. And I want to say to you this morning, those watching on Facebook, you may be in some type of affliction this morning. You may be in some kind of crisis and some kind of low spot in your life. But I want to say that it is closely and can be closely connected to deliverance. God is just a breath of way, a breath away of coming in to your situation and helping you. We see that Jonah had help from the Lord in this chapter. Now turn back to Psalm 34 if you would. Psalm 34. Verse number 6, the Bible says, this poor man cried. So we see a certain condition. David was in this poor condition this morning. Now, there's a second thing I want to mention to you. Not only do I see a certain condition, and David says he was a poor man, but then we see a cry prayer. A cry prayer. Notice again verse number 6. This poor man cried. As far as we know, there were zero words in this specific prayer. It was literally just a cry from a broken heart. You know, church, sometimes we don't have words to fill in our prayers, do we? There's times when life is at its best, and I go into my quiet place to pray, and man, I got the axe of prayer, you know. And that is acknowledging who God is, and C, confession, or A is adoration, C is confession, the T is thanksgiving, the S is supplication. And there's times, Brother Ceylon, in my prayer closet where I'm saying every word perfectly, and I'm adoring the Lord. Say, Lord, I adore you for your mercy and your grace, and I express adoration and all of that. And then I get to see, and I make confessions, and I start confessing things I hadn't even failed at because I'm so passionate in my heart. And then I get to T for thanksgiving, and I'm thanking the Lord for my home and for my salvation and all of those things, my family. And I get to S, and I'm praying for everybody, and I'm praying for myself, and it goes on and on and on. Just a great time to pray. And listen, I have plenty words at those times when life is at its best. But I think it's something when you get to those times when you cannot even utter one word. When life is challenging and life is demanding and you feel like this poor person spiritually, you feel like you're poor mentally and physically even, and you can't even utter one word. I mean, your burdens are so heavy you can't even utter them. They're too close to your heart, you can't even share them. I just think it's an amazing contrast in how one moment we can pray for hours on end, and then on another moment can't even utter one word in our prayers. But you know, there's one thing I've grown to realize about praying. It's not so much about the quantity of prayers we pray as it is the quality of prayers that we pray. Because here we have a cry prayer. And David is recanting his time when he was fleeing from Saul. And he said, this poor man cried. And then his next words were, and the Lord heard him. Look in verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. There's a song on J93.3 and 104.7, The Fish, and it's entitled, It's Okay to Cry. It's okay to cry. In fact, not long ago, I taught a message on a Wednesday night entitled that It's Okay to Cry. Because we are people who are human. And God has given us a personality, and we have emotions, and we get touched by other people's infirmities and situations they're going through on top of our own. And sometimes it just becomes too much, and you just want to cry. I want to say this morning, it's okay to cry. Jesus cried. Jesus wept when He was dealing with Lazarus being dead and his sisters. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Sometimes the best way to express ourselves or release everything we have bottled up is to crawl in into our prayer closet and just cry unto the Lord. We don't have a full lengthy list of nouns and pronouns and action words that we can call out before God in prayer. The only thing we can do is say, Lord, I need your help this morning. In other times, all we can do is sit there and maybe not even make it to our prayer closet there at the dining room kitchen table, just bow our heads and cry and just say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I don't know how this situation is going to turn. Lord, I just know that I don't understand all of your ways. I don't necessarily agree with what you're doing. But Lord, I trust you. Somewhere in the middle of this, you're going to get glory. Somewhere in the middle of this, I will realize that it's for my benefit. It's for their benefit. Sometimes it's a cry prayer that gets us out of jams. Sometimes it's a lengthy prayer that gets us out of jams. But more than quantity, our prayers is all about quality. Peter said in Matthew 14:30, Lord, save me. Hannah prayed with no words coming out of her mouth, yet her lips were moving in 1 Samuel 1:11. In fact, the priest walked up on her and thought she was a drunk woman. She was, Lord Jesus, please, Lord. Her mouth was moving, but there were no words. And then Paul speaks in Romans chapter number 8, verse 26, about praying with, but there being no words necessarily. He's talking about groanings which cannot be uttered. There's times where we just can't put into words how we feel. There's times where our minds is contrary to spirituality and we just don't understand what God is doing. But we pray anyway. And somewhere in that prayer time, we get in touch with God and the connection's made. And I'm not saying it's a feeling necessarily every time, but I will say that we know we've connected. Paul talks about that again in Romans 8:26, that there's prayers with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit, in other words, takes what we are groaning about, what we're saying and trying to say. The Holy Spirit takes our tears and communicates that with the Father, and He knows exactly what we're saying. The book of Psalms talks about that our tears are bottled. He collects our tears, every tear that's shed, every tear that falls down your face, every warm tear and that hits your pillow at night because life don't make sense and you don't know how it's going to work out. God says that I collect those tears. It's okay to cry this morning. Isaiah said in Isaiah 59:1 that the Lord's ear is not heavy. In other words, the Lord, His ear is always down and He's always listening to the cry of His children. Maybe the problem is that we're not crying enough. Might be the problem. Maybe the problem is that through all of this COVID situation and missing church so much and people being at odds with one another, maybe there's some hearts that have grown calloused and indifferent to the things of God. Maybe there's not enough crying this morning. Maybe there needs to be some that comes to the altar this morning and saying, God, I miss church so much. I lied and said I watched it on Facebook. I didn't even see it in over a year. And maybe you need to come this morning and say, my heart is cold. My heart is indifferent. I want you, Lord, to melt this old cold, indifferent heart. I want to cry again, Lord. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's some on Facebook that are watching. Maybe the reason why you're not here is not because of COVID. Maybe it's because you are cold and indifferent within your heart. You might need to do some crying this morning. You might need to do some crying. The old saying growing up is, I remember it used to be said and phrased, boy, don't you cry. Real men don't cry. That's an old worldly saying. That's not true. Real men cry. Jesus cried. And listen, this was a cry prayer. David says this poor man cried. He cried. When are we going to get to the place where we cry over our churches anymore? When are we going to get to the place where we cry over our homes anymore? How our homes are being torn apart by the devil. When are we going to cry again over that? When are we going to cry again over Satan getting in between husband and wife and spouses going to divorce court? When are we going to cry over those things again? When are we going to cry over our children going the ways of the world and mom and daddy not caring about it? When are we going to cry over those things? It's time, church, that we start crying again. I remember going to Floyd Road back when I was a janitor. And I remember one Monday morning, I was going through the sanctuary picking up the bulletins and all that kind of stuff. And I remember I was at an angle. We had altars, wooden altars. And it might be good to get some wooden altars in here. Instead of having to kneel on a carpet where everybody steps at. But anyway, I was looking. I was down there. I was looking at those altars. And I was cleaning, picking up bulletins, you know. I looked right here. There was a glare on the altars. And there was little dots everywhere, Brother Allen. I said, what in the world is this? And I began to look and look. And I walked over here, and this one had just dots all over the altar. I said, what is that? Dried up dots. And it began to hit me what that was. What it was it was tears on the altar. Here's the blessing. Every Monday, I had to wipe those altars because of those tears. I can't hardly remember a time when there was no tears on those altars. And I'm sure, listen, I know there's been tears in this church. We just have carpet, and the carpet absorbed the tears. But it can be preached this morning that there needs to be more tears on the altar. I mean, listen, we have got so much, and the world is going to hell in a handbasket this way. And I wonder sometimes is how much of the world is impacting our church rather than the church impacting our world. I think the world is really impacting our church while we are trying to impact the world. Well, listen, church, along the way there needs to be a broken heart, and maybe that's why God breaks us so much, so we can stay crying. And if that be the case this morning, and listen, every time I say this, God always challenges me on this, but I have to say it because I feel it. Maybe that's why God breaks us so much, so we'll keep on crying. And Lord, if that's what it takes for me to stay in a place where the tears flow from a broken heart, is that you continually break me, keep me broken. And I say that, and I know that the Lord allows me to live that out, but it's true. I don't ever want to grow cold and indifferent to the things of God. I don't ever want to get to the place where I miss church so much that I don't miss church anymore. We missed last Sunday, and man, It feels like it's been a long time since I've been here. I don't want to miss church no more than we have to. And so God, this morning, my prayer is, if that's how you keep the tears flowing in my life and my sensitivity to you and others, is that I have a broken heart, and Lord, keep that broken heart in my chest. A cry prayer, he says, this poor man cried. Now, there's a third thing I want to mention. Not only that, but I see a confident action here. Notice what happened when this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. Because of David's inward broken condition and heart cry out to the Lord, listen to this, obligated himself to respond under those conditions. You say, what do you mean the Lord obligated himself to respond to David under his broken condition? Look down in verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. How about that? Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. How about that? David said this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. There was a confident action, meaning there was action because David cried. We can be confident of this same action, that when we cry out to him from a broken heart, he will hear us. So the Lord had obligated himself to respond under those conditions. You remember Peter in Matthew 14:30. I just mentioned a phrase a moment ago. Peter said, Lord, save me. What happened in verse 31? And action word, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Peter said, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. You're here this morning. You're down in the dumps. You don't know how it's going to get done. You may be here, or you may be listening, watching on Facebook, and you may not have no hope of heaven in your heart. All you have to do is cry out to Jesus for salvation, and he'll save you. If you're already saved and you've blown everything and you need a touch from God in order for this thing to work, all you have to do is cry out to him. Lord, save me. The Bible says immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Of course, in Jonah chapter number 2, but in verse number 7, I'm paraphrasing here, the Bible says, my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Because of the affliction Jonah was going through. And the Bible talks about that, his describing his experience in the belly of that whale. He says, man, I was at the bottom. I was at the bottom. He says, the weeds were wrapping around my head. I was entangled in the bottom. I could not get out of the bottom. I was trapped in the bottom. But in that condition, I called on him, and my prayer, I know, reached his holy temple. And the Bible says that the whale vomited Jonah out of his mouth on dry land. We got a God this morning who answers our prayers when we call out to him in such a contrite and broken spirit. So Jonah experienced that. David experienced that. And this morning God has obligated himself by Scripture to say, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit. Again, it doesn't always feel like, you know, sometimes we're going through those things, and I know I've said, within myself I've said, man, I just don't feel close to God. And I've done everything I know to do, and I just don't feel close to him. Well, sometimes when we're broken, sometimes when we have a contrite spirit, and although Scripture says he's close to us, we don't always feel close. But you see, it's not always about feelings, is it? It's about the promises of God's Word. If you're here this morning and you're broken and your heart is in pieces, the Bible says He is close to you. He is close to you. We just come before Him in full repentance, examining our heart, making sure it's nothing that we did. Even if it was something that we did, we ask for forgiveness. But we come to Him with such a broken heart, and He's near to us, even if we feel like it or not, because the Bible says He is. And so this morning we see a confident action, but then lastly, we see a caught struggler. The Bible says this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The Lord delivered David from the enemy. He delivered David from discouragement, days of darkness, fatigue, and renewed him for the journey. Again, he was in the cave, Adullam, and he was pinning down his experience when he was running from Saul, hiding out in enemy territory where he killed Goliath. He had the very sword of Goliath on him. He acted like a madman and he escaped, and he says, guess what? There was a time when I was a poor man, but I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me, and He saved me out of all of my troubles. Psalms chapter number 40, in verse number 1, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and has set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Sometimes we walk in here and the praises of the Lord are far removed from our lips because of our circumstances in life. And we struggle. But then there's those other times where He has delivered us. And it's evident whose praise is on our lips. But David said, also I've learned something. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Whether I'm in the miry clay or whether I'm on the mountaintop, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. This morning, just wanted to mention some things about this poor man. I've told this story before. In fact, it's pretty sure a lot of people have heard it about pearls. I watched an episode one time on the Discovery Channel of how a deep sea diver went down to get some clams, and then of course there was pearls in the ones that he got. He went on to tell of how that a clam produces pearls. Some women like pearls. And from what I heard and what I gathered, it was a speck of dirt that got lodged up, found an opening in one of these clams. Don't know how it got in, but we know it got in. A speck of dirt got lodged in a clam. And over time, in days and months, however long the process is, there's a process that takes place where eventually a pearl is formed. And the divers go down and they get these clams, they get these pearls, and they're taken back and they're cleaned and they're constructed. And then one day, a lady walks in the jewelry store and she says, ooh, I like those pearls there. Sir, how much for the pearls? And she buys the pearls because she loves the pearls. But the whole time, those pearls came from a very lowly place where dirt was involved. And then finally, behind the sales counter to be purchased. You know, that's really the story of all of us when we came to know Jesus as our Savior. We were like the pearls during the pearl process. Dirt was involved, but then the outcome, there was the trophy of the pearls. And on top of that, sometimes in life we feel like that we're at the bottom. We feel like that no one knows we're there. No one knows we're hurting. No one knows what we're going through. And somehow, some way, our life is agitated, and God uses that to develop something beautiful. I want to encourage you this morning, those watching on Facebook, if I could, that God is doing something in all of our lives. Sometimes it's through the waters. Sometimes it's through the flood. Sometimes it's through the fire, but it's always through the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing something major in our life. A poor man's cry. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, sometimes we feel better than other days, but at all times, in every circumstance, it is the will of God for us to give thanks. So this morning, Lord, we give you thanks for everything. Even if it don't make sense, even if we've cried over it, even if we don't agree with it, Lord, we give you thanks because somehow, somewhere, some way, it's a piece of the puzzle that one day will be written in eternity and problem solved. And Father, we're thankful for that. I pray you'll give liberty during this moment of invitation. May someone find the help they need in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone stand this morning. If you need to come and pray, do business with the Lord, now's the time. For you as well, Facebook viewers.
Just as I am without.
We have some coming. Maybe you need to come this morning. Facebook viewers, you can bow in your living room. Praise the Lord. Plenty of time if you need to come and pray.
Just as I am, and
bring him your brokenness this morning.
To rid my soul of one dark thought to me, whose blood can cleanse.
Plenty of time to do business with the Lord. Invitations given.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive.
Appreciate the Lord doing what he's doing. Again, invitation is open. You need to come. You can come this morning and pray. Any situation, any circumstance. We'll give a couple more minutes. Let me say this. Maybe you've been visiting Calvary for a while and you want to be a member of our church. I invite you to come during this invitation to become a member of Calvary. Just wanted to throw that out there. Anybody else? Amen. That'd be enough playing this morning. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for those who responded. Pray the Lord to do a continual work in your life as He's doing mine. And we'll just learn together along the way. And so we just love everybody. Appreciate you coming this morning. Again, those responding. Just remember, 3 o'clock today, CLU. And I know you'll be blessed by going to that. Please, please, please don't miss that CLU, the first one of the year. And a very special guest. You'll be blessed by going. And you'll miss a blessing by not going. And the choir practice at 4 or shortly after CLU lets out. And then the 5 o'clock service tonight. Looking forward to that as well. All right. Anything to mention this morning? Okay. Well, again, a good number here this morning. And so good to see everybody in person. And we'll be planning on meeting together tonight. All right. Let's be dismissed in word of prayer. And then, Lord willing, we'll see you here in just a little while. Brother Ceylon, would you close us out?